exciting day. You know, birthdays are supposed to be exciting.
Yeah.
And we are leaving in the morning to go down to San Antonio to launch Ogmandino's newlifesupport.com, an alcohol support program, recovery support program that is to support and deepen the journey of alcohol recovery. And we just had so many incredible human beings involved in this, and I want to acknowledge tonight, since they'll be listening to this recording in the morning, our staff here at the office, Megan and Krista, in particular, as they've been getting us prepared, and Chase, who has been in the car with Dale, driving a trailer full of, and I mean not 1 ounce of space left in an 8-foot trailer, enclosed trailer, in the car, all of the stuff for the booths down there, and I don't know if Chase, I think Chase is probably sound asleep. They just finished a 22-hour drive straight through, put them in a hotel tonight, and get a good night's rest so they'll be ready for the morning, and giant thanks to them for all they've done, and to Megan and Krista, and we've got Cassie here in the office, and Ramona, who's on the line. You heard Ramona, who has just been the yeoman. I had a most interesting experience I wanted to share with all of you tonight. I had an intrinsic validating experience, and I wasn't the validator. My birthday is today, so and today is the renewal of my driver's license, okay? Something I've known for, you know, the better part of a year, that by June 29th it needed to be done. And I like to tell you, I don't waste a lot of time, so there hasn't been wasted time that could have been used for this, could have been scheduled differently. But this afternoon, Ramona walked in, because we talked about this morning, I was going to run over there this afternoon right after lunch, but one thing after another just led all the way through the afternoon. About 4 o'clock, she said, your driver's license. 4:15, I said, oh, no. So I just dropped everything, jumped in the car, drove the 20 minutes up to Farmington. Traffic was already starting to back up. Walked in, I said, I'm here to renew my license. Fill out this form. So I fill out this lengthy form. Go back to the desk. And they said, okay, your birth certificate. Birth certificate. Yes, and we'll need your Social Security card. Social Security card. I'm renewing my license. And she said, oh, and have you changed your address? And I said, yes. And, well, I'll need 2 documents that show your name with your current address on it, you know, like a bank statement or something. And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going, I smiled. I didn't say it rudely. I just said, are we still in America? And this lady, this is the driver's license department. You know, this is tantamount to the post office where they shoot each other. She was so delightful. She just smiled. And she said, it used to be America. And then we laughed, and she told me what was going on. And I said, oh, what am I going to do? And she says, I came from Bountiful. And she says, I'm from Bountiful. I said, it'll take me 30 minutes to get back. I won't make it in time. She says, I can make it that much time. And we joked. And she was so pleasant. Finally tracked down Ramona, bless her heart. She was at a Smith's grocery store. Left the groceries in the aisle, I guess, practically, and ran up to the house and got everything together and ran it out to Farmington. And, you know, with 5 minutes to spare, I got my license renewed. Oh, my goodness. I'm driving home, and I'm thinking about the letter that I'm going to write to the Department of Vehicles about this person. I think they need to know from a citizen who's deeply appreciative in a moment where there's just nothing left emotionally for this kind of an experience, and have somebody be so kind and so thoughtful. She could have been rude. She could have just told me to shut up. She did everything to accommodate me. They took my picture while I waited. They gave me an exception form if Ramona didn't get there in time. All kinds of stuff, you know, temporary extension. They were ready to do whatever they had to do. It was the most can-do I've ever seen in a government agency. And I was thinking about that letter I'm going to write. And then I called Ramona and got her voicemail and told her I was looking for an angel to help me out this afternoon. I just wanted to acknowledge these good people that are in the world that show up like that in moments like that. And may we be one of them. You know, when somebody comes in stressed and you know, just there is absolutely no room for anything, and something big has to be thrown at them. May we show up the way this lady showed up for me tonight. It was just precious. So grateful. it made the whole experience. After I got done, I worked my way over to her desk and thanked her for her great smile, and she was very gracious at that time as well. And out the door we went, and on with life. What an exciting thing. Well, we're recording this call. Let's everybody press star 6 so we can have it as quiet as possible. And I won't have to put in a master mute. That'd be great. We've got somebody driving in a car, and I can hear a little noise in the back. So if you're in a car, make sure you press star 6 on your cell phone. That would be greatly appreciated. So we can, I guess we're not going to get there. So let me go ahead and mute the call. Now, to participate, all you need to do is press star 6, and you'll come off of mute. And then we have a conversation. So Dave, say Dave, and we'll know that you're on the line. We want to welcome everyone who's here for the first time. We do this every Tuesday night. We've been having a great experience talking about the qualities of an intentional creator. It is so fun to see things happen in people's lives, changes occur. Had an opportunity to do a couple of testimonials with a couple of wonderful individuals, Nicole and Crystal, who are on the call tonight, and hear their testimonials about these principles and what they've done for them and their lives. And, oh, it's just so wonderful. When you take these things on, Crystal made a comment a few moments ago when we finished her testimony. She said, you talked about a psychic change. That's a common phrase in Alcoholics Anonymous. You want to go through a psychic change. And it just really means that we can give up some bad habits along the way, like drinking or friends that we might associate with that aren't healthy. But in the end, the change occurs inside us. We change. And Augie invites us to change, to shed that old skin and to let it become as dust and walk, and then people won't even know who we are because we'll be new. We'll be a new person. A new person. And it can be just a little scary to think about being a new person and letting go of this comfortable shoe we've been wearing. Unfortunately, that old shoe gets us in some trouble. Sometimes we say things and do things that we just wish we wouldn't have said or done. And when we start to think differently, we act differently. And it's in the acting that we get different results. And results are such a critical part of our life, especially right now, in terms of relationships, in terms of our businesses, and in terms of the goal setting that we've been working on. So we're going to turn our attention tonight to your experience with the goal setting exercise. For those who were not in attendance last week, let me give you just a couple of highlights. We talk about using our mind constructively. Instead of spending our time in fantasy or catastrophe, and one breeds the other. If you're ever having fear and anxiety and overwhelm and feeling those kinds of feelings, it's almost always because of an unmet expectation. Something we thought would be different. It didn't turn out that way, and our body just goes into a defense mechanism to defend us, to defend this idea. It should have been. It shouldn't be happening this way. It should be different. But it's not. It is what it is. And we're in resistance and resentment and even rebellion sometimes to what's happening in our lives. That's fantasy catastrophe. Fantasy, just simply again, is any time we go into the future and conclude that an event has occurred and then begin living in what it would be like after that event has occurred. I become rich, and what's it like after I'm rich? I'm now rich, and now I start buying houses and cars, and I start living in my mind as if I'm there. We want to use this vivid visualization. It's a powerful, powerful tool. Well, that was interesting. Interesting echo. We want to use this tool to vividly visualize a way that we ignite our passion. Passion's a willingness to suffer for something that we love. And passion will drive focus and discipline and effort and action. It's a sad truth for some. It's not if you fall in love with being an intentional creator. But for those when they first come from fantasy to creation, it's a little discouraging to find out that things don't just happen because we visualize them. We may visualize something, and a power greater than ourselves may manifest an inspired idea or an impression or a solution to a problem, but you will not see tangible reality manifest by thinking. Thinking gives us the ideas and impressions of what to do and the excitement around doing it. I could just feel it this morning when I woke up. I was just excited. I was on fire. I came down to the office and began working on some pieces that needed to be created before we left today. And I'm watching this incredible website coming together, and there's just a few minor things that need to be handled, and been working through the day, and just it's not like frustrating. It's just like, man, I need 10 more minutes in the day. I need 15 more minutes. It's so exciting to make this thing come alive. And while we're talking in the room next to me, Krista's on the phone with our programmer, and they're still working. 7:15 at night, they're still going. Megan's off running to get some books from Kevin Hall and getting everything squared away for in the morning. Kevin's going to come down to San Antonio with us to do a book signing for a couple of days. All very exciting stuff. This is exciting. But this has been a day where we've almost skipped meals. I went to the refrigerator here in the office a few minutes ago. Ramona's got a wonderful dinner ready at home, and I didn't make it. So I'm sipping on a can of Dr. Pepper and a package of string cheese. I mean, who cares? This is exciting. I would not have missed for $1 million the testimonial that I just recorded a few moments ago. Oh, my goodness. It was magical. Wouldn't have missed it. That's where we want to live. That's how we want to be in creation. We don't want to be doing boring, mundane, repetitious work. We can all have days like that, but we want to be in passion, where we're just driven through the day with this excitement, this vision of what's possible. We get to the end of the day, and it's all coming together, and oh my goodness. This is where we want to live. But to live here, we have to be very, very careful, because 97% of you have thought processes that if they are not used correctly, constructively, they will eat you alive. You will create vivid visualization, expectations, which are concrete conditions for happiness, and you'll be living in norepinephrine-driven nirvana, that euphoric feeling you get in fantasy, followed by terrible discouragement. Oh, I had a moving email that came in. It was the day before yesterday. I don't know if she's on the phone tonight. I sure hope so. She was so excited last Saturday when she sent me a text, and by Monday, just so discouraged. We have to be so careful what we do in moments of elation with these thoughts when they're this powerful, this over-focused, because we will set ourselves up for a certain catastrophe. Certain. Unavoidable. So when we want to talk about using our mind constructively, one of the five things we can do is planning and goal setting. And planning and goal setting gives us permission to go into the future, to create a clear vision of the possibility. We went through last week relationships. We went through business. It's a very basic business principles, seeing what's possible. And part of this, we were using the example in review, that you want to set a goal, a vivid visualization, that involves a 50% increase in your income. You go beyond that and you start to get into fantastical visions. Now, I'm not going to say it's not possible to double it or triple it. It is. That's really possible. But why don't you increase it 50% first? Because you may be frustrated with me for limiting you I'm also trying to save you from certain frustration. Increase at 50%, and as soon as you reach it, just keep going. But get there first. So I use the example. If you made $50,000 last year, then envision yourself making $75,000. $25,000 more dollars. What are you going to do with the $25,000? Now you've got a number. Then you want to start considering what opportunities that extra $25,000 would buy. Maybe it pays off some debt. Maybe it allows you to take a vacation or purchase a newer car or get some needed furniture or clothing or some dental work done, whatever it might be. Just think about possibilities. Maybe the children could take dance lessons or violin lessons or piano lessons or could be more involved in summer camp or something else if those funds were available. I want you to live that experience. I want you to see them, yourself and them, experiencing that money, what it would be like in their lives. Now, I warned you last week, and I'll share it again. If you've been fantasizing about millions, the very first thing you're going to realize is that $25,000 doesn't go very far in comparison to what millions will do. But $25,000 in comparison to what happened this year is a fortune. It's just bringing us back into a more realistic form of visualization. You can feel just a little bit of loss, but you're not losing anything. In this example, you made $50,000. That's what's real. You did not make $2 million, even though your mind wants you to think that you did, and you own the home and the sailboat and the cars to go with it. You did not make it. And this year, you're going to increase it by a 50% margin. And again, if you do more than that, then exceed and go beyond, and you know, as soon as your goals are reached, Doc says, go to the next level. But be prepared for that moment of reality check where it's a little, it doesn't solve my problems. It doesn't pay for my fantasies. No, but it'll pay for very real dental work. It'll pay for a very real car. It'll pay for a very real summer camp and a vacation. It'll pay for very real things. This isn't fantasy carpet anymore or a fantasy couch. These are the ones you actually go down the store and you buy and they deliver them and put them in your house. It's very exciting. So think about it in those terms. Be prepared when you start thinking and visualizing opportunity and possibility. So you've got an amount, the opportunity, what you could do with it. And then we talked last week about converting that to people. How many lives would I need to change in order to generate that revenue? Now do your best to calculate that. In some businesses, it might be harder than others. You know, if you're selling something for $1,000 and you got a $500 commission, you know what that is. If you're in a network marketing business and you put in a certain number of people in your organization and they put a certain number of people in your organization, you could probably get some guidance from a leader who could tell you with this many in your organization what you could expect. Then I suggested that from that point forward, you never think of money again. You then go into the business of finding those people. For an example, if it's one a week, it's 52 people, the next year you're going to find. What does it take to find that one person who shares your vision, who shares your dreams, or similar dreams, who could get excited about what you're doing and would want to participate with you at the level with which you are participating? Where is this person? This is when creativity comes alive. If we're thinking money and commissions, we miss the opportunity. If we're fantasizing, we miss the opportunity. All of a sudden, we now use our other constructive thought processes. We're mentally rehearsing. We're exploring possibilities. We're seeking inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. In exploration, we might be thinking about different professions, different parts. parts of the demographic of the population. If I'm older, maybe I want to talk to people who I know where they are in terms of fear and anxiety about being prepared for retirement. If I'm a nurse, maybe I want to talk to people in the medical field who might be as burned out as I am. We start thinking about, where are my strengths? What are my experiences? What have I gone through? What have I been dragging around in my sack from our intentional creation discussion and our intrinsic validation discussion? What have I been dragging? What lessons have I learned? Who could I listen to and really understand better than anyone else? This is how we start to think. We don't have time for catastrophe. We don't have time for fantasy. Those are both a gross waste of time. All of that energy goes into very vivid visualization in what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? You might even envision yourself at a convention of your company, and you've been asked to stand and speak about your team, and you look down, and there they are in front of you. Look at them. See them. I've had people say to me, am I making this stuff up? And I'm going, you didn't have to make up the color of the leather in your fantasy Ferrari. You had such a burning desire to escape to a time when you were rich and you had that car, and your desire to have it, to get away from where you are now, drove the visualization. Nobody had to tell you what to do. Nobody. When your passion is to find 52 people whose lives you can bless, and you want to see them as clearly as you saw the fantasy Ferrari, you'll see them. You'll see them. They may not be the exact person that you end up talking to, but you can learn volumes. You might say, you know, you go down the list, and here's Joe. I met Joe here. Where did you meet him? Let your mind tell you. Let this powerful visualization instruct you. You'll learn where to find them by visualizing them. Visualizing them won't make them show up your front door dinging the doorbell saying, can I sign up for your company? It won't happen. But by visualizing them, you'll know where to go to find them, and you'll be more likely to open your mouth and have the conversation. Whether you're a real estate agent, whether you're a network marketer, whether you're an attorney, whatever it might be, if your desire is to grow, if you're an employee, you may want to apply this same visualization to tasks at work. What could I bring to this? You should watch what happens in this office. Oh my goodness. I came back last week. We went to train new coaches. We were there at the cabin from Wednesday night through Sunday. I walked in here on Monday, and the office presented to me what they had prepared for San Antonio, the final touches and displays and etc. I almost cried. What they had anticipated, what they had created in that anticipation, just was stunning. I can tell you right now, I can't wait to have a successful event and come back and show them how grateful I was. I don't think there's an employer in this country. Well, that's not true. There are. But let us hope there. Their hearts could be softened by us showing up. Because quite often as employees, we show up and do just enough not to get fired. And they pay us enough so that we don't quit. And all of a sudden you say, why should I do more than that? They're not paying me. I'll tell you exactly why you do more than that. Because this isn't about the pay they're giving you. This is about you maximizing your gifts. This is about you becoming the creator of your life. They pay you what they will. But that should not compromise what you do in terms of you bringing all you can. Because I can tell you, when you do, and you do it for a period of time, the cream always rises to the top. It is deeply appreciated and is always seen, especially if it's not just to show somebody else up or be be a scorekeeper. We really come to create and bring value to what we do. And I'll tell you, many of you are in kind of dual roles. You're employees somewhere, and you're also building independent businesses. Many of you are. And quite often we get in that role of, I want to fire my boss because I really want to have independence. Well, you're going to be in your job. Prove that you can be your own boss. Prove that you can be creative. It is an incredible school because they're paying you to go to it. May not be much, but they're not charging you tuition. And what a great opportunity to be able to magnify all that you can be in that space, because that is transferable. That you get to take with you. Well, they may get the benefit of your extra effort and insight and vision, but your ability to create that is transferable. You get to bring that to your business. You get to bring that to your venture. You get to bring that to your relationships. I can tell you right now, people who are absolutely engaged in the day as an employee find themselves still energized at the end of the day. Can you hear my voice? This has been a brutal day. If I had to do everything that had to be done today, this would have been a brutal day. I'm still on fire. That's where you want to be. You want to be on fire so that when you get home, and I see Ramona tonight, oh my goodness, we still have some birthday celebrating to do. I didn't drudge through the day. By the time I come home, and Ramona's probably sitting there saying, I've seen that a couple times. It's true, she has. But I know she appreciates it when I come home feeling like I'm feeling tonight. And so will your companions. So you come home with that kind of energy because of the vision you create. I just wanted to, hope I didn't go too far down a rabbit hole. I wanted to share that with you because some of you on the call are employees in businesses. And what a great opportunity, because you're becoming an intentional creator with somebody else's money. What a deal. The worst thing they can do if you make a bad mistake is fire you. They're not going to repossess your house. Because you're not the guarantor of the business loan that's running the place. What a great thing to do. So, back to our creation. Here we are, looking for people. Visualizing them. Opening our mouth, speaking to everyone we meet, taking our conversations and bringing them into context. I'd like to sit down and talk to you for a few moments, John. We've been friends for a long time. I'd really like to know where you are emotionally and mentally on the topic of a home-based business. Simple as that. What's your experience? What have you tried? Do you have any desire to have more in your life? How are you feeling about your job? What's going on? Does it feel like I'm trying to recruit you into something? Be honest. Yeah, it does. Well, not going to. Unless I find out that what you really want would fit what I already have. If not, don't worry about it. I tell you what, if you really want what I want, I might push you just a little bit. Speak honestly. That's the truth. But our goal setting is about a clear vision. And in this case, finances is about money. It's about converting that money to opportunity, from opportunity to lives changed, and then focusing on lives. Now, we had an interesting conversation up at the cabin this weekend. I had a vice president of a company, 6,000 employees, hospital administrator, some really wonderful business people and others. Well, we've got one of our coaches with alcohol experience, got another one that loves to be involved in counseling. I've got a person heavily involved in Chamber of Commerce. An Olympic diver, amazing human being, has been staying at our home for the last little over a week. I'm going to forget somebody. A sales manager of a car dealership. salesperson with a large university. A salesperson, they don't call them that because it's Title IV funding. Crazy, wonderful, mature people with tremendous life experience. And we had a rich experience talking about this very topic. And the conversation was, I bring intrinsic validation into an organization. And what happens if it doesn't change the bottom line? I said, you probably won't get to do it twice. The bottom line in a business is a profit margin. There can be all kinds of platitudes about being the best product, providing the best service, and those things are all true. They absolutely need to be there. But in the end, the bean counters, the stockholders, the investors, are usually more interested about margins than they are about how people feel about themselves. That's just the truth. And I use an example. I said, I want you to go back to the Old Testament, to Daniel. Here's young Daniel in the Pharaoh's court. And the Pharaoh wants Daniel and his compadres to eat the food that the other young guys in the court are eating. And it's offensive to Daniel. Daniel won't eat it. And they finally strike up a bargain, and it sounds like this. Let us eat what we eat, and let your other guys eat what they're going to eat. And at the end of a certain amount of time, let's do an evaluation and see if we have an equal to or better mental capacity and physical acuity. Let's see where we are. Daniel put faith in the way he was eating. And when it was all said and done, sure enough, Daniel's food served his people better. And I suggested that the principles that we're talking about, intrinsic validation, using our mind constructively, is the food. It's the food. Can we eat this food and as a result perform at a higher level? Create more. Generate a better bottom line. Now, some might say, I just feel better about myself, and that's okay with me. That's all I need. That's wonderful. You might ask the rest of the family, or business partners, or investors, if they're okay with that. Because the truth of the matter is, when true principles are applied, lives are blessed. More people buy your products, more revenue is generated, and more profit occurs. That is the truth. So when you're doing your financial goal setting, be okay with the money. It is okay to make money, and it's okay to make a lot of it. And it's okay to have really nice things. Not at the expense of eating the wrong food and crushing people and destroying lives. But if lives have been blessed, and people are better for knowing you, don't be ashamed to make a living, and a good one at that. So in this goal setting, just know that it's okay. Money is an important part of the equation. It's not the most important, but it is a very important piece. It's not more important than the people. However, when you treat the people correctly, you actually make more money. It's a nice thing to know. Well, that's where we were with our goal setting last week. I want to open this up for a few moments to anybody who's got a question as they've gone through this process, any walls they bumped into or something that didn't quite make sense, or someone who is starting to get the vision and is trying this and is starting to see the possibilities. I don't know if Nicole's on the phone. She's down in San Antonio. I don't know if she got on tonight. Nicole, are you with us tonight by any chance? Because I was going to have her share with us what happened after the call last week, because we had a wonderful coaching session following the call last Tuesday night. She shared with me, and I hope she's okay if I share it with all of you, that her business, she's in the network marketing business, a great company, it had not occurred to her to turn the money equation into people. was a great insight for her to be able to say, wow, I can still focus on the money, convert it to people, and then focus on people and feel really good about finding and supporting and blessing the lives. That was the phrase that she liked, blessing the lives of people. That was a great discovery for her. Has anybody else had a discovery or would like to ask a question or fine-tune this process of goal setting? I'd like to open this up to you right now. I'm going to take this off of mute so everybody's off, so bear with me just for a moment. Okay, we can hear everybody. Who would like to step out and address this this conversation and question?
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
This is Lisa Bauer. How are you?
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hello. So nice to hear your topic tonight. Nice to be amongst the group. I told you I'd get here.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
In sharing along the goal setting, when I did my assessment, goal setting came up bright red. It was one of four areas in my assessment that were bright red, so I focused a lot on the tools that were available and the visualization of step-by-step, how can I do this? And I'm in sales and marketing, and I did exactly what you're talking about. I was just giggling away as you're talking. And in the last month, I have increased my, in the last month, my income has increased 25% from last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. It has been phenomenal. And it wasn't anything to do with focusing on the money. It was all about becoming a better team member, becoming a better person, and the set of circumstances happened because I told you about the challenge of wanting to be a, you know, become a coach, that I thought I could not transmit something I didn't have yet, and so I wanted to go through this, and this whole set of circumstances began to unfold in my life, in which financial windfall came right and left, and it has been phenomenal.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. And Crystal, who's on the phone, would be very excited for you as well, because I know the two of you have talked with each other along the way.
We have. We have. And like I said, it's just been really interesting. And right after I took care of some financial responsibilities that I've been praying for a solution to, I came on and signed up for this entire course here. So I'm so excited.
Well, we welcome you. And it sounds like you might be in a car. Is that right, Lisa?
It is, and I'm going to take and go ahead and put it back on mute so it doesn't disrupt. I'm actually on my way to a meeting with a gal, and I was going to mention one of the things that came from this. You talked about focusing on the people. Through this whole set of circumstances, there have been four or five other people that have been, I've been able to interact with in a way that made a huge difference in their lives, and I just get tears thinking about it. It's just overwhelming.
Well, Lisa, you've made my night. Thank you. And we wish you the very best, and let's always hear your voice on Tuesday nights. It's great to see your journey and your expertise. Looking forward to the day when you'll be playing a bigger part in the Og Mandino group. So thank you so very much. That's awesome, isn't it? Who else would like to step out tonight? Let's use our time. Let's have everybody press star 6 one more time if we can, if you're going to be on the line. There we go. Oh, that was so helpful. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to share tonight? Okay, well, if you get the courage to jump out on the line, then do so. And whatever you do, don't ever be intimidated coming on this line. I can tell you right now, it's been very interesting to have guests in our home. They get to see what really goes on. Truth of the matter is, we're always on our very, very best when we're in a coaching position. But we're also very human, just like you. We have our fears and anxieties at times, and we just want you to know that. You know, sometimes we're only a block ahead of your journey. Fortunately, we know where the button, where the glue buckets are and the potholes, so we can warn you. But don't ever be intimidated to come on this call and share where you are or what's happening. And it's a question. Because if we were in personal coaching, we would be talking about those things, and this is your opportunity to make it as personal as possible. So please come on the line or drop me an email as we're going through this process. Now, I'm going to move on. And if you need to stop and would love to share, just stop me to say, Dave, and jump on the line, and we will do that. But it's time for us to move to our next quality, which is completing tasks. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put this on mute for a moment. So if anyone would like to share, and don't feel embarrassed if you say, Dave, I finally want to say something, just press star 6. And I'll acknowledge you just as soon as I hear you. If I'm not acknowledging you, you're still on mute. The next step in this journey is when we go from focusing on people, that was quality one, stepping into their world, learning the art and mastering that art of connection. Quality two, where we're learning to use our mind constructively instead of that destructive use, so that we can receive those inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that ignite our passion. And now we're filled with passion. Now we've got a vision. Now we know where we're headed. And now it's time to actually take action. A couple of things I want to share with you tonight in this area. There is a power greater than us, a higher power, if you will. And it does manifest things in tangible reality, but they're also very different than quite often than we're often taught. In our mind, that power can give us inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. I keep repeating that, so it's very clear to everyone. In tangible reality, that power does two really powerful things. Number one, when we fully use our capacity, all the gifts we've been given, it's called being genuine. Genus, our genius. When we fully use the genius we've been given, this power will endow us with even more ability, more than we have. It is magical. It's mystical. It's powerful. To all of a sudden have something show up beyond us in a moment of need, but only when we fully used what we already have. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment. Second of all, when we are taking passion-driven action, we're focused, we're disciplined, and we're in action, and we're walking that path, this power can put people on our path who we can meet and we can serve and who will serve us. I don't know very many days that go by when a miracle like that doesn't happen. When you are in absolute intentional creation and you're focusing on serving the needs of those in your world, and you're using your mind constructively in creation, and you are now walking your path, you will experience miracles. People will be put on your path who you can serve, and who can serve you in miraculous ways. Now I want to talk about the first piece. How many of us are procrastinators? Heaven forbid any of us would be, right? where you want to look when you go to your assessment. There are a couple places. But the most common place to look is called proactive on the left-hand side. There are a lot of other things that can get in the way. The third measurement of discipline and resisting structure. Being productive, being impatient, or being exhausted. Thinking too much, and thinking about thinking, and thinking about thinking. And just when you go to do it, you think of another and better way to do it. So we never quite go into action. I think sometimes it's better to do the wrong thing and just be in action so the universe can show up and bless you. I've shared this once before, and I heard this from Alexander, Dr. Dallas Abrams, who's been on this call a number of times. When she was in California this last summer and went to a wonderful sermon one Sunday, she said, the pastor said, God cannot drive parked cars. And oh, so true. If we're a parked car, he can't do anything with us in terms of manifesting more ability or people on our path. But when we finally go into action, we can get some direction. We might turn a little to the left or a little to the right, but at least we're in motion. And one of the risks, and self-esteem is another reason, which is integrous, on the right-hand side, confident, valiant. When we're not happy with our lives and frustrated, grateful. Self-direction is have to and should and must, and even fear of consequences. A lot of noise, a lack of energy. But this is how I want to paint the picture. If you've listened to Connecting with People, you'll hear this, at least a version of it. Let me walk you through another version. Here we stand. There is a task that needs to be completed. That task is out in front of us. That task is screaming for our attention. But I want you to look at your assessment, particularly any orange or red bars. These are measurements that aren't wrong. They're just really over-focused in certain areas or under-focused. There's a lot of pressure on these areas, a lot of noise going on because of them. And so in our own head, sometimes the noise is so loud, we cannot hear that task screaming for attention. Now, occasionally we'll walk around the corner and see that box in the corner that needs to be handled, or open the closet door to the closet that needs to be cleaned, or those files stacked on our desk, or we'll look at our to-do list and all the stuff we keep moving over every day. And we look at it just for a moment, but then we convince ourselves we can do that tomorrow. Ramona should be chuckling about now, because I've been doing this for weeks with my license. It never screamed loud enough for me until this afternoon, because I can't rent a car tomorrow in San Antonio without it. It had to be done. And what happens as it gets closer and closer and closer and closer, and sometimes the noise in our head is destructive, and sometimes we're just absolutely a constructive creation and it can't get our attention. But all of a sudden, it does. It's screaming louder than whatever it is we're thinking about. And we look at that task and we realize we have to jump in and get the task done. Just think of one like this. It's a tax return. Something has to be filed with the government for certain deadlines, or there's trouble. Or there's a payment that's got to be paid by a certain time, or there's going to be consequences, whatever it might be. And we finally jump in and take care of that problem. Wow. Every time we jump in, both feet, boom, and we totally focus on that problem, how often have you at that moment looked up and said, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why'd I wait so long? Ponder that with me for a moment. Smile. All that has happened, is your natural genius just showed up. And isn't it interesting that we're surprised? wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow. Your natural genius showed up unfettered by a lack of self-esteem or need to be right or fantastical thinking and catastrophizing. You showed up. All of you. Now, what's interesting is that for a lifetime, some of you on the phone, I want you to smile with me for a moment, have been thinking that you've been getting away with something. Remember when you turned in that term paper that you worked on just the night before for a few hours and you end up getting a pretty decent grade? You're thinking, man, if that professor or teacher knew how little effort I put into that, there's no way they would have given me that. I want you to look at it differently tonight. I want you to see what was capable once you showed up. Because there were some people in that class who showed up and have been showing up for 6 weeks. And in 6 weeks, they couldn't create what you did in a few hours. BS? No. Ability. Natural genius. To be able to see it clearly and put it together in such a way that someone could read it and understand it and get enough out of it to give you a decent grade. Somebody else may have done more technical analysis, more detailed research, but when it came time to sharing it, it was so confusing they didn't get as good a grade. You somehow could explain it. Your natural genius. Question for you to explore is this. How many times did you step right back into the noise in your head and treat the next task the same way? Finally jumping in at the last minute and again being surprised. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow. Why did I wait so long? This week, the gift I want you to give yourself is to take action. Do your very best to have a vision to drive it and jump in. This is what Og was talking about when he said in Scroll 9 that my procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. Fear I wouldn't have enough time, or fear I wasn't smart enough, fear that I wasn't good enough, fear that I couldn't do it adequately enough, whatever it might be. He said, I've learned this secret mind from the depths of all courageous hearts, core, meaning heart or blood, the heart of hearts. I've learned this from that. I got inside of the hearts of courageous people and discovered, wow, they used to do the same thing too. And then they start taking action. To conquer fear, I must act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. Now I know that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity. And if you've ever read that and pondered it, you might have asked, how? The answer is, because when you finally took action, you finally showed up. You. It was your own natural genius that relieves the flutters in your heart and turned the lion of terror into an ant of equanimity. Now some might say, well, you're not giving credit to a higher power. And I said, oh, but I am. You honor the giver by honoring the gift. Fear causes us to bury the gift. If you don't mind me using an example from the New Testament, the harshest reprimand ever given in the whole Bible was a parable about someone who chose to bury their talent because of fear. You honor the giver by honoring the gift. It's not ego. respect. You have been given much. I've seen many of your assessments. Tremendous capacity to create. And a lot of dialogue that's causing you to bury it in the most awful garbage. This week your gift is to jump in and take action and meet you, the real you. And be okay. Don't be surprised. Honor the giver by honoring the gift. You will never be given more until you use what you've already been given. I want you to read this section or listen to this section entitled Completing Tasks. Because next week we're going to talk about the two questions. We're going to talk a little bit about procrastination, and then we're going to get into what are called power sessions. I want you to listen what's in the program. I want to take it a step farther or further next Tuesday night. Just a little further than what's in the material in terms of how to handle a power session. A power session is going to test your will. It's going to find out how much time you spend in your head wasting time and how often you are or can be present in the now, tangible now, taking action in tangible creation, the thing that will be required to convert your vision, your dream, into tangible reality. So make sure you get through that material this week in preparation. Now, just for discussion, if you read it early on, you'll get instructions for reading three scrolls this week. Scroll 5, I'll live this day as if it is my last. Doesn't mean you're going to die tomorrow. It just means you'll never get this day again. I mean, this is the last time you get this day. And the second scroll is scroll 9. You'll hear about procrastination in that scroll. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. And then lastly, scroll number 7. Because life can sometimes push us to the edge and we just need to laugh. Like that lady did today at the motor vehicle department. Just laughed with me and just took the sting out of the experience. It was powerful. It was validating. It was very rich. So that's your assignment. Now before we wrap up this call, I'm going to take this off of mute. If there's anybody that would like to give us a closing comment, bear with me just a moment. Okay, we're off of mute for everyone. Is there anyone that would like to give us a closing thought before we wrap up this session tonight?
Dave?
Yes.
It's Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi. You know, I have to tell you, I was doing this. I put a little post-it note on my computer at work that says, be someone that he can trust. You know, that person that God can trust to, or my partner, who I call God, can trust in order to take me to the next thing. And that I kind of feel like I have to... it's like you were saying, I just started acting, I just started doing, I didn't think about everything, I didn't overthink it, I just got on the phone, I just made phone calls, I just created emails. And the coolest part was, is I did what was in front of me, and then new opportunities flew in from the sides that I am like almost twice my quota for the month. And just huge blessings just simply by me doing what's in front of me. Quit procrastinating, quit getting distracted, quit wallowing because I don't like working there, and just do it. And then all these wonderful gifts come in. So I just wanted to, I guess, reinforce what you've been saying and share my own experience.
Thank you. And I also know your blessing people. Jenny has been trained to be one of our Augmandino coaches, and I got a voicemail from one of your coaching students the other day that just moved me to tears. I believe I sent you a quick email to let you know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty special.
It was a beautiful thing to listen to. Thank you for your service and serving those that are learning these principles.
What a great way to end the night, Jenny.
Thank you. Love your energy.
You're welcome.
And let's take this on. Let's take this on this week. Bless yourself by meeting yourself, by doing what Jenny just said, taking action, going into doing things, whatever's in front of you, and opportunities will start coming in from the sides when you're in action. So let's take this on, and next week we're going to take on power sessions. Have a great night, everybody, and thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Hey, and you guys have a